I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to talk about things like high upside and great motors.
I would not take a quarterback there. Probably get one of those receivers. Now you got weapons around the quarterback, or you get the left tackle to bookend.
This is a draft week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
All right, welcome back in. It's the second hour of a hump day edition of Dirt and Sprague. Dirt and Craig, Alan and Braden. It's a loaded second hour as well. Sam Morrill, the comedian, is going to be in Portland here in a couple weeks, and he's going to hop on with us at 7:30. He's a longtime comedian. Great stuff, hilarious, and loves sports. Big sports fan.
Big NBA guy, big Knicks fan.
Big Knicks fan. We can ask if he's a Giant or Jet guy.
Ah, what should they do in the NFL draft?
I think if I was a New Yorker, I would be obviously Rangers, Yankees, Giants. What's the other sport I'm blanking on there? Bob, Knicks.
Knicks, yeah. You'd definitely be a Knicks fan over a Nets fan.
The Jets, Mets people are fascinating.
Very interesting.
That's the rhyming thing. I don't know what that is.
I think I saw, and I hope this is not getting butt cracked, I believe in the tenure of Pope Francis, RIP, who passed away earlier this week, there was only one team in professional sports that did not make the playoffs.
Only one?
Only in all of the core four, there was only one team that did not make the playoffs while Pope Francis was the Pope.
Is it?
The Jets.
The Jets, yeah.
The Jets were the only one.
Yep. But Rodgers wants you to know they didn't give me my respect.
That's right.
It's NFL draft week.
That it is, Edward.
The NFL draft is tomorrow. I'm very excited. I don't know how, when, or why, but I used to be you, and now I get really hyped and geeked for it.
You get very geeked for it, huh?
I would say in the last, like, 4 years.
We all evolve as sports fans. I get excited for a scrimmage football game on Saturday that people laugh at me for, and I get it.
You've been like that basically the entire time I've known you, because you're an Oregon Duck football sicko.
Yeah, there's something to that.
But this is something that I used to, like, we did a draft show once for some reason, and it was a terrible draft, and we got clowned for not knowing who Eric Fisher was.
That was one of the worst drafts in NFL history. In our defense, that was a really bad draft.
Yeah, well, listeners didn't make me feel like that in the moment.
Why don't you break down Eric Fisher's tape, man?
Why don't you guys read up more on this offensive lineman?
I mean, Deion Jordan went third overall, I believe. Yeah, that was a horrible draft.
Steroid user.
Yeah, he was.
But I'm excited just because of the amount of nobody knows, but people might know, but man, the noise is loud. Like, according to Diana Racine did a big write-up this morning, and she wrote this. So we're talking with our overlord, Ryan Cooley. He's a big Giant fan. And he's like, they're going to go Hunter Carter. And then I read this blurb. Giants called the Titans multiple times with offers to move up to one. They were the most aggressive of teams that reached out to the new Titans general manager, and I start to wonder, why would they do that? Well, they must like Cam Ward.
They must want a quarterback.
And it brings me back to what we said a couple days ago, like, your job's on the line. You're going to take an edge rusher who's not going to improve your win-loss totals.
Yeah.
You're going to get fired. So at least you could point to a young quarterback if you have success. But is Shador going to fall to 18? Is he going to go all the way to the Steelers? Are the Steelers going to draft a quarterback?
I mean, if he's there, I could totally see that happening near the end of the first round. He to me, has the vibe of a guy who could easily fall in this draft. And there's a handful of guys that this happens to every year, usually quarterbacks, but guys that end up going to the green room, and then you get that awkward, like, is he going to be a top five pick? And then it's the end of the night, and they're the only one left sitting in there with their family and their agent. It's like, this is a little awkward and uncomfortable. Now, in his defense, I don't think he's going to be there. I don't think he's one of the guys that's actually going to Lambeau.
He's not going to.
So he won't have to deal with that awkward, the cameras are still on me, the cameras are still on me, when am I going to get picked? But he has, oh my God, he's still on the board written all over him for tomorrow night. And to be fair, I can't blame NFL teams for that. He might end up being great. Nobody has any clue how he's going to do in the NFL. But in the evaluation process, when you look at this quarterback class, I don't blame teams in the top 10 for saying, you know what, not the value isn't there for a top 10
Okay,
pick.
So I want to ask you this. As somebody who is a big poo-pooer of the NFL draft, what is the interesting thing about this draft for you?
I think the interesting thing about this draft is not knowing the sequence and order of picks really outside of one. Now, maybe we know two because it does seem like there's a lot of smoke there with Travis Hunter in Cleveland. Those are the kind of drafts that, to me, that are the most compelling. And I do think you have that this year. I don't think this class is as good as some other classes we've seen. I certainly don't think the quarterbacks are as good as we've seen just even last year, and let alone what's going to come next year if certain guys leave college early and head to the NFL. So I don't think the class is overall as good, but where you can rope me in and intrigue me is when we finally get to the start of the draft. Of now, I have no clue how this thing's going to transpire and what pick is going to be made in the top 10 that's going to make us all... Who is going to be the Michael Penix of this year that make us all shout at our TV, what? They did what? Atlanta? You know, like, who's that going to be? And I think you got a lot of cases where that might end up happening this year because even if Hunter goes number two, you feel like then it's likely that Carter will go number three. After that, who the hell knows how the rest of the
so
first round goes.
So what I would say with that, like, who is the... What are they doing... team. I don't quite know. It's hard to gauge based on all of the intel that is out there. One that's really sticking out for me is the minus money, like the overall favorite, overwhelming favorite, I should say, is JNT going to the Jags.
JNT to Jacksonville. Huh?
And I think Ashton JNT, I heard yesterday that he might be as talented and could very well be the next Christian McCaffrey type player.
Somebody did a floor and ceiling mock for him and said his floor was LaDainian Tomlinson and his ceiling was Walter Payton. I was like, oh, so he's either a Hall of Famer or a Hall of Famer or somewhere in the middle of a Hall of Famer.
He's an all-time running back.
Okay, all right.
No pressure,
Ashton. Go live up to it.
And I watched him play, and I think we could say, like, man, yeah, he's
a beast.
Crazy stuff.
He's a monster.
Why would I guess I'm curious. Jacksonville's a rather under-the-radar interesting team. Their GM's 34. So he's got to be super analytical. Does it make value sense to draft a running back? Especially given how many holes they have?
Yeah, I don't know. The fit is all, you know, it's all about the fit. I'm not opposed adamantly against taking a running back in the top 10, but if I'm Jacksonville,
there's a lot of running backs in this draft.
There are a lot of good running backs in this draft.
It's
I think there's one from Oregon who is not getting talked about at all that has a great chance to have an NFL career, and Bucky Irving was this last year in Tampa. Like anybody who watched him would say, he's a hard runner. He's hard to bring down. He can catch the ball. Like, what's not to like? And then he slips a little bit because it's a running back position. And look at the value that Tampa got there. I think Jordan James can have the same NFL career. There is something about Jeanty, though. When you want, like, he just was so much better than everybody else.
Watching those defenders routinely every week just bounce off of him.
Yes, it's
and
not
break away for a 40-yard run for a touchdown.
It's not just that he's a good running back. We all know that. I would argue that there is a massive gap between running back one and running back two just based on what we saw in college. And that's where the intrigue of a top 10 pick. I don't know about Jacksonville. They got a lot of issues down there. And I don't know how much he would help in the short term for them.
Right.
But JNT going in the top 10 would not outrage me as a fan if my team took
no,
him.
And in terms of if you're in a spot where you just think you need to take the best player available, he's certainly top 10. I mean, everybody I heard say he's maybe top five in terms of just best.
You go to the Jags, you're top five.
Football players out there that you would put on a field.
Russini says the Jags are hoping to keep this draft electric. So she's using certain words in a lot of the, I want to go through some of these teams and how she writes about each team because I feel like she's kind of like, hey, I'm telling you.
Nod, wink, wink.
They want to go with an electric pick. On offense for their first-year coach, Liam Cohen, and James Gladstone, their GM.
I mean, who wouldn't want an electric pick on offense?
And an offensive player is on their radar.
Okay, electric offensive player. Electric offensive pick.
Now, when you guys watched him in college, my only was doing it at Boise against San Jose State. And that's not necessarily fair because his measurables translate, I think, to any conference.
He did that to my team, too. He did that to us.
He did that to us, too. Not as bad as he did it to you.
Well, it was end of he was banged up. He was banged up at the end of the year.
He was banged up.
He's banged up, all right? A lot of carries.
But when you watched him, I actually watched him play and thought, Saquon Barkley, right? breakaway speed, legs thick as tree trunks, defenders bouncing off of him. That's how I viewed him.
His overall yardage was number one in the country. The second leading rusher in college football last year was Ashton Jeanty after contact.
Yeah. Yeah.
So his just overall yards was one. Just
an absolute
clear cut number one. Number two was him after contact. And then there was a wide gap. And then it was like Cam Scataboo, whoever was third. There was a massive gap there.
God, I hope Scataboo has some kind of NFL
here's
career.
The thing, though, that just makes me chuckle this time of year. This is why part of me, I can't wait for it to get here because all of this stuff is
I feel like you can't wait for it to get done.
It's not done. I'm ready for the draft to start because. Jacksonville's good.
33 hours.
Jacksonville wants an electric offensive player. Are they going to take Jeanty? It's a smokescreen. Do they really feel that way? Are they trying
it's
to
minus money in Vegas?
Are they trying to drive up the price? Are they trying to get somebody to trade? Do they not want somebody after them or before them? Like,
do you think Diana Rossini is writing a smokescreen for them?
I don't think they know. Here's the thing about media reporters, dude. They're getting information from sources.
Why are you yelling at
me? I'm not yelling. I'm just raising my voice. That's what I tell my wife all the time. I'm not yelling. I'm just talking louder right now.
I thought we were going to get Mad Dog there for a second.
I just, like, they're getting information from people. But also, the sources in the NFL want certain information out there. They're not just giving, like,
is there a benefit for
Diana,
Jacksonville to have
Diana,
this?
Diana, we're going to take Ashton Jeanty. Don't tell anybody. Don't say anything. Like, that's not how this works. It's like, you know, we really like Ashton Jeanty. Why don't you report that we're looking for an electric offensive player? I'm not arguing that just everyone is just being used, but I also think that, and I think organizations in professional sports, in all sports, this happens in our own market with information that is leaked and information that is given. It's like, yeah, there has to be a grain of salt with it, though, because they also want that information out there. There's a purpose for them to leak that information. And so I think Diana Rossini is an unbelievable reporter. I'm not saying she's doing anything questionable. I think she's reporting what is being told to her, which is exactly what an insider should do. But at the same time, these teams, general managers, coaches, there's a message at times that they're trying to get across. And so maybe Jeanty is the overwhelming favorite and that's where he goes. And hey, look, it was easy as that. I have to take it with the grain of salt of, is there a ulterior motive for all of this information getting out the day before the draft?
I want to run through a couple things that she mentioned. What are Denver and Bo Nix going to be doing this year? They were the firework team drafting Bo Nix. They made the playoffs.
They did.
What are they looking to add in their first pick in the NFL draft? What are the Niners going to be doing? We got a laundry list of teams we can run down. We'll get to that. Some more NFL draft talk. We'll get to the NBA. We'll get back into it. The Lakers-Timberwolves game. Game two. The series is tied now at one. And Sam Morrill, the comedian, is going to join us coming up at 7:30, and we will discuss his Knicks misery as the Knicks are going back to Detroit tied 1-1, could be down 0-2. And so we'll talk with him at 7:30. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on The Fan.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The beautiful call of one Brian Wheeler, RIP.
RIP, man. God, that gave me chills. That was an interesting mashup with the Friends music going. It's kind of fit.
They were there for us.
He was there for us for
clap,
a long
clap,
time.
Clap, 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 clap.
The organization wasn't there for him, unfortunately.
6 years ago today, the Damian Lillard walk-off eliminating Thunder shot. 6 years ago today, I was in that building watching that, loudest I've ever heard the Moda Center, just could not believe it in disbelief.
I think it's one of the biggest reasons why I'm so dead inside it. I miss relevant basketball.
You know how good it can be.
Like, well, we were talking about this after the show yesterday. Of like, imagine you're the 3 seed in the West this year, and Luka and the Lakers are the 6 seed. And yesterday on the show, we're getting set for Luka and LeBron being in town for game two of the first round.
Or you stole a game in
LA. Or you stole a game.
And now it's game two.
And you got game three at home on Friday night, and the buildup and the energy, and everybody in the city's talking about it. Like, I desperately miss that.
I've been missing it watching. Because I think the atmospheres have been great.
They've been really good.
In every city.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how rowdy Detroit gets, right? Like, I'm kind of curious how Boston fans are going to be if there's no Tatum tonight, because the Orlando Magic, could they steal one? We'll see.
Could they look at?
Get up! He screamed to his player.
He did.
Get up! Turns out he was actually hurt.
Ah, come on, you pansy. Get your ass up, Tatum. You're faking it.
Joe Mazzulla. Fascinating human.
An absolute character.
But I watched these, and I understand the portion of Blazer fans that enjoy the wins, and while I don't believe in, like, fundamentally going all in and acting as if a 7-seeded Blazer team's going to win the title the way that some do, I get where the emotion comes from. The playoff atmosphere at the Moda Center and just having that game on, it's a big event. It's the thing you look forward to all day at whatever your job is. It's like, how will they – remember the Houston series? I mean, it's not just that Dame hit. I remember the first two games of that series more than I remember the shot.
LaMarcus going on the road,
back
dominating.
Back-to-back, 40-point burgers. Hadn't done that since, like, Akeem had done it.
He was unbelievable.
And went into Houston and won two straight games. He thought, oh, we stole one. We're going to lose game two. Nope. LaMarcus is awesome.
Yeah, and they were a miracle away from only going to – they could have gone to a game seven still, but Dame hit the shot in game six.
And so, like, I understand it. Silver was talking – was it yesterday? He was talking recently, and I'm blanking, but he was basically how giddy he's been. I didn't know numbers. I didn't look at TV ratings. I don't want to talk about those very often because I don't think people that love sports and watch it really care. It's no. Like, hey, most of America didn't watch it. It's like, yeah, well, I did, so shut up.
I enjoyed it. That's all that mattered.
The viewership numbers, like for the year over year, it's down 2%. Every sport is, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But like, playoff numbers, he said it's the highest playoffs over the weekend that they've had in like 20 years.
I mean, look, I understand the conspiracy theories, which I don't fully believe in. The Luka trade was one of the best things that's happened to the NBA in a long time. I mean, it threw such a curveball in the middle. It's like, what? And then it gave you storylines and fascinating things to watch that I think roped in. You always going to have your diehards. You're always going to have your fans in the bubble that live and die with it night in and night out. It's how do you get the others outside of that to get more engaged? And I do think the Luka trade added so much intrigue for the rest of the regular season. And then on top of that, when you look at the Western Conference, I mean, we joked earlier about OKC and Memphis. That series sucks and it shouldn't be played.
Mm-hmm.
Just end it right now. Every other series is fascinating, man. Clippers and Nuggets is 1-1 with two classic games. Minnesota and LA haven't really played a good game, but it's an intriguing series now because it's 1-1.
Yeah.
And Rockets and Warriors, we get game two tonight, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if Houston wins game two on their home floor and you get a 1-1 series going back to Golden State. And so the other three series, I would argue, while only LA and Denver have been classic quote-unquote games, they've given you great storylines early and they're living up to the hype.
They almost had 5 million people watching that Orlando-Boston game.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
5 million people for Orlando-Boston.
Hey, yeah, that's good.
Halftime score, you're like, yeah, Orlando flirted with it a bit. That's what Boston does early in the playoffs. They play with their food.
I mean, we think these first-round series are too long, but I mean,
they are, but that doesn't mean you can't watch
it. But it's churning out people caring.
This is why they don't shorten it. If you're getting 5 million viewers for a 7-game series,
if you can get that for seven,
why would you take it away?
Right.
We're costing ourselves money here.
Now, if it's best of three, is that number 10? I mean, probably, but I digress.
Yeah.
But it's been a nice showing, and it does. I don't know where they're going to end up in the draft lottery. We went through the odds yesterday. They have an 82% chance to be 10 or 11, they have 18 to do anything else.
Yay.
And I don't know how the offseason is going to go, but like if they're setting their own bar at playoff, even though I kind of, my reading on that post, that press conference is one person wanted to set the bar at play in and the other person vocally set it at playoff.
You telling me they're not on the same page again, just like they weren't last year about tanking and pushing for the play,
so that
developing young players.
So that means that next year, if they don't make the playoff, it's going to be, well, the goal was always the play in, but like, don't forget, I'd love to see them back in it. It'd just be nice to have relevant basketball. Like, let's just get back to that and then build from there.
Yeah, I miss it. This time of year, man, watching it is fun. The NBA playoffs are a good product, and it's a bummer when you're not in the mix.
You derailed my NFL draft chatter.
My apologies.
Yeah, you should.
It's okay. We only have 33 hours, 33 minutes, and 5 seconds to go until the NFL draft starts, so we can get to it a little bit more later in the show and tomorrow as well.
One of our listeners says, I've convinced myself that Cam Ward's going to be Baker Mayfield, and I'm okay with the Titans drafting Baker number one overall.
Now, will they give him the second contract, or will they make the same mistake Cleveland does, and will he move on and then become Baker Mayfield, aka Cam Ward.
I'm way too high on Cam Ward. That's a problem.
That's
I think Cam Ward's going to be a really good NFL quarterback.
Yeah, you're inhaling the Cam Ward stuff right now.
Let's go to our ticker stop. It is Sam Morrill. He's a longtime comedian. He's a diehard Knicks fan, a big sports nut. He's going to be in town May 5th, and he joins us for the Daily Ticker. We got Stat or Story around the corner, and we'll dive into some more NBA playoff takeaways from yesterday with Lakers Timberwolves. That's next on The Fan.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Wednesday, brought to you as always by our good friends at Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather, Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Joining us now, we haven't had a comedian on in a long time. We're very excited about this. He's going to be in Portland coming up on May 5th at the Newmark Theater, and he's doing a couple of shows that day. The Eras Tour is coming to town. Sam Morrill joining us now, and you can follow him on Twitter, at Sam Morrill. He's also a diehard Knicks fan, so we got to talk a little NBA playoffs with you. I'm curious, Sam, from your perspective, like, I hate getting up early, and I have to do this every day for a living. You got to do a lot of these hits in different cities. How much do you hate doing these interviews?
Well, this isn't early for me. If I'm in New York, it's 10:35 right now.
Okay. So it's a little bit later on in the morning, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, if this was 7:30, I'd hate you right now, okay. But I'm good.
Yeah. If you were on the West Coast, you would hate it. We were talking before we brought you on, Sam, about the Blazers suck. I'm curious to get your thoughts on our organization, if you even, you know, how many people on the East Coast even know that they exist. But
Danny Avdija, great season, though. I mean, there's a couple bright spots for you guys. But, yeah, I mean, look, I don't think anyone was like, DeAndre Ayton is going to turn it around for you guys. You know, it's like, Simons is a nice player. You got some young, nice players, but yeah, you're complete rebuild mode.
We're kind of in no man's land. How much does it, what is the feeling like? Cause we were talking about what it feels like when the Blazers are in the playoffs, and there's only one show in town here. So when they're in the playoffs, it's a big effing deal. When the Knicks are in the playoffs, what's that like in New York? And especially after they lose it, like, what's the feeling like? What's the vibe like out there right now?
Well, yeah, I totally get it with you guys. I mean, you got no other professional sports team. It's either the Blazers or a vegan strip club in Portland.
Damn
if you
right
wanna,
it is. Yeah.
If you want to have a good experience. I mean, Dame was amazing for you guys. He was always big time in the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, New York's incredible. I was at that game 2 loss. It was brutal. It was a tough one to lose. It's the way they lost it. It was just an ugly game. So. It's the building's incredible. The Garden is, there's nothing like MSG. To me, there's nothing better in sports. So, it was crazy to be in the building with that energy. And it was also crazy to see the energy sucked out.
Now, when you're on the road, I'm curious because of the way the schedule tends to go for you when you're doing shows at night, like, how much are you prioritizing Knicks games? Like, you miss games. Are you recording these games and watching them, or do you just miss them and move on because the season's long? How do you handle the Knicks season while you're on the road?
I'm not big on recording games. There's something to me about, like, it's kind of live or bust. Mm-hmm. I have a friend at the Cellar who's always hosting Mike Yard, and he's always like, don't tell me the score. And I'm like, dude, I mean... You don't check your phone at all. Like, I have too many Knicks fan friends that I'll get texted about the game anyway. Like, I get more texts on, like, a Knicks midseason game than on my birthday. That's just how it is. I have so many Knicks threads going. I mean, look, if I'm at the Cellar, if I have a night off, I'm like, I'll watch the Knicks. I'll kind of like plan nights off to watch the Knicks. So I love just watching a game at home.
Yeah, I'm one of those, like, if I record something for the show, like, to watch, oh, I got to watch a football game, but I'll miss it live. Like, I don't care if I know the score. I'll still go back just to see how it all played out. Are we nervous going back to Detroit right now? It kind of feels like maybe they could have been up 2-0, but the Knicks had that big run. Or where are we at on the confidence meter for the Knicks going back to Detroit?
Well, the funny thing is either team could have been up 2-0 right now. That's the weird thing.
True.
You know, Yeah, I mean, look, you got home court. You want to protect it. So do I feel great? Of course not. The Pistons are a tougher team than us, which is annoying. It's annoying to watch. New Yorkers are so much about toughness. And that 90s Knicks that we grew up on was kind of modeled after that Bad Boys Pistons team. You know, Ewing, Oak, Mace. That was kind of like, in some ways, like Isaiah, you know, Lambeer, Mahorn. It was kind of that energy, right? Except they won two. We didn't win. But
yeah,
they also got Jordan when he was young. Yeah, so it was different, you know, and Magic when he was a little older. So they kind of had a little window that we didn't have. Yeah, I mean, like, we lost a lot of our fit and toughness. Like, the fit with Dante, is Mikhail better than Dante as a player? Probably, but he's a worse fit for us, right? You need shooting with this lineup. And then, is Hardenstein a better player than Cat? I mean, you can't. It's hard to argue against Cat's shooting ability and everything, but Hardenstein just kind of fit like a glove. He was such a brick wall. I loved watching him. So, we lost some guys who were just like a really good fit for the culture.
Mm. Yeah, we're talking with Sam Morril. He's going to be at the Newmark Theater on May 5th. His stand-up tour comes to town, the Eras Tour. He's got multiple shows, two different ones. You can go check him out May 5th at the Newmark Theater. You can follow him on Twitter at Sam Morril. You mentioned MSG and it being like the Mecca. It's near the top, I think, of almost every sports fan's list who's never been there. Of like, God, I'd love to, whether it's a big game or a regular season game, it doesn't matter. Just like seeing a game in the Garden would be incredible. You get the chance to travel the country, which I'm sure is like grueling and exhausting. Is there a benefit of being a sports fan of like getting to check out different venues when you're on tour? And then if you have it, because that's in my like bucket list. If you were asking me, like, Lambeau, the draft is there tomorrow night. I'd love to go to a game at Lambeau. I've never been to Fenway and probably MSG. What are the venues that you've never been to that are near the top of your list?
Oh, man, that's a good question. You know, this is a crazy one. I've never been to Wrigley Field. I feel I feel like that's blasphemous. I'm just tired usually, dude. When I'm on the road a lot, I'm just like, people like, they always want you to do stuff during the day. I'm a genius. You just added a show on a Monday, a late show on a Monday. What am I thinking? Like, so if you do two shows on a Monday, chances are you're kind of tired Tuesday, you know? You don't want to wake up for an afternoon game. So,
what time's the bedtime after two shows in one night?
Oh, my God.
Well, it's tough. You're wired, man. Yeah. So, like, if it's one show, I can get to bed a reasonable hour. But that late show, really, you're just wired. It's like, your heart's racing. And I'm a low-energy act. I'm not like Sebastian Maniscalco up there. I'm just kind of in the pocket chilling as how I talk on stage. But, yeah, after that late show, you're just pretty tired. I mean, you're pretty wired. And then, so, yeah, it's tough to fall asleep, for sure.
I'm kind of curious. I was watching some of your kind of older stand-up. Like, there was one from 2016 I was watching. I thought the crowd actually kind of sucked. Your jokes were good. The crowd was terrible. But you had a joke.
Story in my life.
You had a joke in there in 2016 where you're basically like, I'm asked how I don't cheat on my girlfriend. Well, nobody wants to have sex with me. I'm curious how life has
classic
changed.
Morrell.
That was classic Morrell. I'm curious how life has changed for Sam Morrell from 2016, given these, you know, nobody wants to hook up with me. I'm not big enough yet. Now you're a big deal. You're a big act. You're traveling America. Like, how has life changed for you from 2016? And do you like seeing those old cuts? Or do they make you cringe a little bit now that you're more seasoned in the comedy game?
I look back and sometimes I'm like, wow, that wasn't great. But I'm pretty proud of my early stuff. I think I always put a lot of work into my stand-up. So I look back at interviews sometimes and I'm like, oof. But my stand-up, I worked so hard as a young comic. I was surrounded by these comics who were just like workhorses and took it so seriously. So I still think that's a good joke. I love that joke. I love... And what's changed? I mean, not a lot. I'm still pretty self-deprecating. I think those are good jokes to have. I think it's good to make fun of yourself. I like to make fun of others and the women I date, you know, and stuff like that. But like, you know, you got to stay self-deprecating, man. That's what comedy is. So still try not to take yourself too seriously and laugh at your flaws, which, you know, of which I have many.
Well, we got some listeners that are on to what you have been as a comedian, probably pretty excited that you're coming to town. Now, I know phone interviews are much different than being in a city. Like you said, 7:30, you'd want to kill us. So coming into a studio at 7:30 in the morning, we might get a different Sam. And some listeners were like, be ready with the dumb button. So we went and looked at some morning interviews. and there is one from about a year ago. I don't know if you could have made this woman in Salt Lake City feel more uncomfortable than you talking about P. Diddy and hooking up with a mom of six kids.
Yeah, that mom of six story is true, too. That was like perfect. Of course, in Utah, right?
Yeah,
that joke was really good. That was a. But here's the problem. She, by the way, she was cool. The guy was not cool in that interview. I used to look. I loved doing morning interviews back in the day because I would just throw them off the rails. It would be a disaster. The problem is now, if anyone has me on, they want it, and I can, and I'm never, and I'm not like offensive enough now.
Yeah.
Now they're like, that's it. You just made a suck my penis joke. That's all you had. And I'm just like, so, I'm sorry. I thought it was like a CBS local affiliate. I didn't know.
My bad.
I thought that was like enough for you. It's like you're into like some like heart, like it's like, you know, I'm just like a mischievous guy. And now like every time someone wants to sleep with you, they're like, yeah, choke me. And I'm like, I don't really do that.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. Yeah. You know what you are? You're one of those coaches who had like you had too much early success. You've set the bar so high for yourself now that it's hard to continue to live up to it. All these times you're doing morning interviews. When was the last time you were in Portland? Mm-hmm. And depending on that answer, what was your favorite and least favorite thing about the city?
Oh, that's a good one.
I've been to Portland many times. I mean, we did a theater there a couple years ago, and what is my favorite thing? I mean, God, sometimes your crowds get so damn sensitive. Like, I definitely have jokes about you. Here's the thing. If I do a few shows in Portland, there's going to be, like, two great ones and one horrible one. It's never, like, in between. If there's an annoying, whiny person, like, it's Portland, but then Portland's aware of its reputation, so then they'll sometimes overcompensate and be really cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you kind of don't know entirely what you're getting. But like when I used to do Portland Helium coming up, it was one of my favorite weekends. I love that club.
Mm-hmm.
I love Portland crowds. And I feel like I get a lot of good work done, like, you know, in Portland because the crowds are smart.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys are more like accustomed that when you are bothered, you're just angry. And we're like passive aggressive whiny is kind of how I would judge the two temperaments from East Coast, West Coast.
Oh, totally. Like, yeah, New York crowds will like tell you to kill yourself, but Portland's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Keep doing what you're
just
doing.
Just give you dirty looks and like maybe a grunt or a moan after a joke.
Now, who are the Giants going to take or the Jets? Are you a Jets or Giants guy? I'm sorry for not knowing that one. And who do you want them to take, whoever you're a fan of?
I don't know. I'm a Giants fan.
Okay, there we go.
But I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know enough about these guys. I don't know how like Sanders' game is going to translate. I don't know enough. So I don't even have a good take on this. Russell Wilson scares the life out of me, but also like, it's not like we were flying high with Daniel Jones the last 2 years.
Vanilla Vic?
You know, we had DeVito. So it's like, Jesus, like anything is an upgrade, I guess. But you also never know how bad stuff can get. You know, we just don't have a good team, really, it feels like, ever.
I would say your terms of not knowing how these guys – I think NFL teams are right there, too. They have no clue either. Idea. That's the beauty of the NFL draft. Nobody has any clue. And that's why we love watching it. Sam Morril's going to be in Portland, Newmark Theater. Go check him out. He's got two shows. He's not going to be tired at all. Two shows on May 5th. Go check out all the specials. Some of them are on Amazon. He was in the 2024 Roast of the Year, which was one of the top shows on Netflix this past year. So the guy's all over the place. He's going to be in Portland. Go check him out. Sam, thanks so much for the time, man. We enjoyed it. Hopefully your Knicks get a win, bing bong, tomorrow in game 3, and have fun in Portland when you're here.
Thanks for having me.
There you go. Sam Morril talking comedy and being in Portland.
Boy, that suck my, that, that, tenth of a second, everybody was like, and he said the technical medical term, so it actually is okay on air.
Medical term. It's applicable. We're okay. We're
mother of six, huh?
Mother of six.
Should have followed up now that I'm thinking about that.
Yeah.
Was it at her house? Did they have shared bedrooms?
I got questions. There's questions.
Was there
Dad? What's that sound? Who are you?
Hello? I'm Uncle Sam.
Today's Daily Ticker is presented by Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather. Pelican brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. We'll get the status story coming up at 8:15. I'm going to dive back into a little bit of the NBA playoff stuff. LeBron not clutch game 1. He's back to being clutch. He's not going to get swept in the first round. Maybe he can still be the GOAT. We'll see. Let's dive into where that series goes, because that was an interesting game, too. The Lakers rebound. We'll dive back into the NBA playoffs next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Not a lot of time here. It was, yeah, like Sam went a little long there. You know, it's going to happen. It was fun. Fun to have a comedian on. We haven't done that in a while.
I enjoyed the conversation. He's a genuine sports fan.
It helps when they're sports fans. Yeah. You know, like, so tell me about your act. You know, how do you cook that up? Because I think they could probably get tired of that question. But somebody who genuinely enjoys talking about sports, it fits on sports radio. So go check him out. It'll be fun to see him in town. Last night, very excited for the start of T-Wolves and Lakers, just based on my child schedule. The late game's easier for me to watch in its entirety. Kid goes down, you're kind of winding down for the day, there's no distractions, you get to sit down and kind of soak it all in. The other games, you're running around, dinners and bedtimes and all this stuff, and you're trying to watch out of the corner of your eye.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited, sit down, Lakers, T-Wolves, how are the Lakers going to respond? How's Minnesota going to come out? And it's 34-15 at the end of the first quarter. Just a horrendous opening quarter for Minnesota. Now, they fought. They hung around the game. They made it competitive. You know, if you wanted to stay up that late, it was not at least a blowout from start to finish. They remained in it for most of the night. But that first quarter was so disastrous, and you knew LA was going to come out with a message. And that's a series that I have a really hard time getting a read on.
Yeah.
Two games into it.
100% with you. Lakers have to play smaller. I mean, what did Jackson Hayes end up playing? 9 minutes. Like They go with Rui at the five, and they dabble with Vanderbilt and LeBron interchanging down low as well. And they just let Luka try to put Rudy Gobert in a screen. Hopefully he gets him and then beats him. It's a tough series to gauge. I don't even think Austin Reaves has been very good. I know he shot 50%, but...
He was 0-6 from three. I mean,
they're expecting him to be in the 24-25 range, I think, if they want to get where they ultimately want to get. If you're asking me, like, where I would lean right now...
I'd give you $50 to put on a series winner. Where do you put it after you go Minnesota?
I do, yeah, because I thought they came out the gate super awful, right? And the Lakers predictably have a good first quarter. And look, LeBron, all the flowers he's been given by doing what he's doing at this age. I'm going to kind of count as I'm kind of curious to see what he does in Minnesota, because it's three, right? It's 2-3-2.
Yes.
Or it's 2-2. No.
Is it 1-1-1?
2-3-2 is only the final. I think they switched that now. I think they're all 2-2-1-1-1.
Oh, okay.
Are you confident? I'm just asking.
I mean, they got a month off in between games, so you might as well travel.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see him, because last night he had a streak going where he was 0-5. He airballed like a 3-foot shot. At the end of that game, he looked like an older player.
He's 40.
I know, but like, this is where can they actually do it if he's the second best player?
Or third best player. Well, they're hoping if Reaves can play better that he could be a number three.
They want Reaves to score like the second best. Yeah. He is their second best player. And as great as he is, and I'm not completely out, I just saw a guy that, yeah, they won that game largely because they built such a big lead. Their offense disappeared in the fourth quarter. They scored 13 points. I think Minnesota's going to play better than what they did in the first quarter. So if you gave me 50, I actually think I would lean. I think Timberwolves can do it.
Yeah. Look, the games haven't been overly entertaining, the first two, but at least the storylines in the series are entertaining. And that's it, you know. Sometimes you just get blowouts either way, or, you know, Memphis and Oklahoma City, there's nothing interesting to me about that series. We know how it's going to go.
Sure.
This is one where game one was a bit of it, like Minnesota just ran them out of the gym, and you're like, what? I didn't see that coming. And then game two, you turn around and the Lakers lead the entire time. They're up by 20 at the end of the first quarter, and they're in control the entire game. And so it wasn't an entertaining game necessarily from start to finish, but at least the series itself is interesting. And I do think eventually we'll get some tighter games going forward.
Very quickly, one point, Ann Edwards, I watched his post-game press conference, and he basically was like, I don't even remember what happened in the first quarter. It was just such bad basketball.
Yeah.
He did note that when he got the ball, he noticed they instantly morphed into a zone. And he just openly admitted that it really confused him. And I thought, okay,
That's something to take away of, can Reddick keep doing things like that?
To throw him off.
To throw him off, yeah. To make him be thinking a little too much, because he's such a flow player. Like, he's really smart, but he's such a hyper-athletic person with good moves that I think he's always in the flow of a game. And when you throw something at him he's not prepared for, like him saying out loud, it kind of confused me. I thought that was a little eye-opening. So be curious to see how they go going forward. Minnesota's got the height. They've got the height advantage. But can the Lakers take advantage of it going back to Minnesota playing small ball?
Well, they now have 3 days off because game three is not until Friday night in Minnesota.
Well, they need time to travel.
You got to have time. You got to have time. L.A. to Minnesota is a long ways away.
You said it's 3 days away and the game is on Friday? Today's Wednesday?
They played last night, so they get 3 days, you know. Well, I get two days off. Yeah, touche. 2 days off. So 2 days off, then they play on Friday. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. Stat or story coming up at 8:15. A FUP date, of course, at 8:30. I want to start with a little bit of character assassination. Let's go there to start the final hour next on 1080 The Fam.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.